podcast.
Earlier this year, back in the summer, on a trip to Dunoon, I had the opportunity to meet with representatives of the Dunoon Project. And if you haven't heard about it, it's a really ambitious community-led project that will see a cable car going from the town up into the hills above it, through the forests. It will look at a heritage centre and cafe at the top of the hill with amazing views across the Clyde and Dunoon, and then a zip line and alpine coaster to race back down the hills. And then there'll be access to stunning trails for walkers and mountain bikers. So I had the opportunity to speak to Gavin Dick, Brendan Wallace and Keith Holt all about the project and the work that they've been doing. And then an opportunity to go up the hill and see those amazing views, and it will be absolutely stunning. Not only that, I was then able to combine discussion with David Mitchell and Paul Gallagher from Dunoon Grammar about the work that the project are doing with the school to involve young people in the town in the project. So here's three bits of those conversations, and I hope it gives you a sense of just how amazing this project could be.
I don't know how much you know of the original history of the Dunoon Project.
And I know a bit of the background from sort of being in my previous role. I had economic development, so
right.
I've got a bit of the background from that.
Yeah. Okay, so I should just give you a very quick I suppose since I've been here, which is 19 years now, I'm living in Ellen locally, and then I'm having a business in London, and then I set up a division here, and then it's just sort of expanded here. So I'm actually the company larger in Scotland than it is in London now, which is great because of the amount of business we picked up. But I've always thought Dunoon needs a reason for people to visit. It's lacking that. So the various things used to go through my mind, thinking, you know, I could do with this, could do with that, you know, even a submarine, taking the history of Holyrood and all these sort of things. And then part of being, you know, having a young family, trying to find places to take them, etc. You know, we've taken them to the Heights of Abraham in Matlock in Derbyshire, which was a gondola, goes up to the top of the mountain with a visitor centre up there. And I started to look into that a bit and how it transformed Matlock from a dying tourist town to a thriving tourist town. And then Zipworld in North Wales, which was a world-class zip line sort of development, which has been phenomenally successful. You know, in the first, I think, 3 years of trading, they were turning over sort of 5 million with 2.5 million profit, employing 150 staff, all paying above the living wage, and it's brought sort of 150 million of economy into North Wales indirectly, the local business, and that's in the middle of nowhere. So it's been, it can work, you know, that's bizarre. Yeah. And then when you look at the locality of Dunoon and how close it is to Central Belt, Glasgow, and you think, well, why can't it work here? You know, everyone seems to go off to Fort William, but to get up the mountain, you bypass Fort William, you just carry on, you know, drive to the car park and then head up that way. So the beauty with Dunoon, I felt, was the bottom of the hill is right at the town.
Yeah.
So it can then help the town thrive. If we can create something, you know, within Dunoon town that helps the town, helps the, you know, the restaurants, the cafes, the hotels, etc., and starts to bring a lot of people into Dunoon and bring some life back into it. And there was Nick Ferguson contacted me, who was doing
the economic forum.
He was just looking at businesses around the area, and then sort of picked me out of the hat or something, and he came along and had a chat. And I just mentioned this to him and said, I've got this idea, so it'd be great to have a gondola up the back of the hill and zip line. And he went, right, okay, come down and see me. And when I'm in London, and he says, and I'll put you in touch with some people. And he put me in touch with Digby, who's a forestry guy, who's been absolutely fantastic. And then obviously I'd known Gavin for, you know, a long time, which Gavin's hotel that I stayed in the very first time I came to Dunoon. A long time ago. And then various people through business that I'd known, and then started to try and build a team to think, right, okay, how can we what have we got to do to make this happen? And that's really how it all started. And then something that you sort of think, oh, this could become reality in the next couple of years, you know, and then as time goes on, you know, this takes ages.
It's hard to get these things off the ground, yeah, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we had some, you know, good community meetings, and again, the first meeting we ever had was at the Borough Hall, and, you know, which has got a capacity of about 120 people or something in the hall, and, you know, and we were trying to get the message out. And I said, how do you get the message out? Because the local paper was just not really interested. He did put something eventually, but and then we just went and hijacked some of the local social media posts, like WeeBay and Dunoon in old photos, and said, you know, and then it sort of went viral. But we had no idea that how many people were going to turn up at this meeting, and it got to like 6:45 at night. We're starting at 7:00, and there was like 2 people. And I said, yeah, this is embarrassing. And I've got Nick there, so he was going to sort of chair it, because I had no idea what to expect with this. And then sort of came to sort of 6:50, and literally the place just rammed full. Like probably 150 plus people rammed in there, and it was really, really good. And the atmosphere was fantastic. And you know, Nick asked the question. He said, "Right, are there any objections? Has anyone got any objections to this?" And no one put their hand up. You know, and it was like the first sort of community meeting that had been completely positive.
It was just
amazing.
It sort of went from there, and then the next meeting we had was at the Queen's Hall, which was 500 odd people.
I was going to say, you're scaling up at that point.
Absolutely. And even the TV, you know, the media came along to that one, the Scottish channel. And again, it was really, really good. And then, of course, the method of what we were trying to do to make this happen was through the CATS application. You know, the community, you know, went to buy, and then it was, I mean, Keith will go through shortly in terms of the format of this, but that, I suppose, in a sense, has been probably the biggest stumbling block, because it's such a big thing we're trying to achieve here. And, you know, so it's not just a little zip line somewhere. This is a big thing we're trying to achieve here, to really put Dunoon and Argyll on the map, mm-hmm. and make it, you know, a leading tourist attraction in Scotland that anyone has to come and visit, you know, when they're visiting Scotland, and local as well. I mean, and I think because of the access to the Central Belt, you know, you're less than 2 hours to Edinburgh. So, you know, we've got that whole Central Belt as well in terms of coverage for Dunoon, and so it's been really good. You know, we've built a good team of people, of volunteers, you know, that are just helping out and doing it part and parcel of their own time. But then, of course, COVID hit, which had a knock-on effect with us.
Yeah, everything's had a
took the wheels off a bit. Because we couldn't have the face-to-face meetings with people, the Forestry Commission, things like that, and. But we've been plodding on in the background and doing quite a lot, you know. And there's a good stage that we've got to. And you know, I think when you look at some of these processes in the past, and you know, you look at what's gone on in the past and how long it's taken. I was up at Nevis last year, and I just saw how long it took from the idea to actually. Getting the concrete in the ground.
Yeah.
That's like 15 years. So these things can take a long time. And it sort of opened my eyes to it a bit. But it's one of those things that I think when you see the effect and the involvement of the people that we've got, and we've now engaged with the schools as well. So primary schools initially, so before COVID, I was visiting the primary schools, and they were taking all the kids up to the top of the hill to show them, having sort of, you know, class outings out. They were doing paper mache models of zip lines and gondolas. There were lots of painting competitions. I've got, you know, loads of letters from kids saying how great this is, which are also all going to go into the CATS application. And then we sort of went to the grammar school and said, look, what engagement can we get here? Mr. Mitchell's been really good at the grammar. So they're actually bringing it into the curriculum for this next term.
I'll have to ask him about that later when I pop down to the grammar school this afternoon.
So. Yeah, he's really infused by it.
Yeah.
And Keith and myself have done a couple of talks down with the kids at the grammar school sort of recently. And we've also got this advisory panel, which is, on that we've got Nick Ferguson, we've got the Kathleen Russell,
mm-hmm.
My ex-wife. We've got Greg Menar, who's a South African world champion downhill mountain biker, who's sort of won at Fort William a number of times. He's sort of known as the best in his class. He's sort of the equivalent of, what's his name? He's the equivalent of, I'm just going to give the racing drivers
Lewis Hamilton
in the motorsports world in mountain biking. He's that sort of well known in the mountain biking world.
And Dunoon already gets quite a good write up, doesn't it, in the mountain biking world? Because I had in my old office, I had a big spread that was in one of the papers about just how sort of.
I think the big thing is the town centre, with Dunoon Presents and Dunoon Bid doing these kind of events. It's just kind of reinforced the whole. They love it here because they've got a town centre access. Mm. There's nowhere else in Scotland that's got that so close.
Yeah,
Fort William is still out from it.
But even look at the likes of Peebles, Glen Tress, which is great for mountain biking, and that's what we want to try and do here. But have the gondola.
Yeah.
The thing with Peebles, it's just a. I would say it's all the Forestry Commission type land, but they just charge £5 for a car to turn up with £5,000 mountain bikes on the roof, four guys, day out, and they're paying £5 between them. They're not making good money out of that, and people would pay it. They're paying a fortune for these bikes, and the facilities there are. You've got a cafe, you've got showers, but you've got to cycle up the hill, so it's limited to the how many people you will get going there and doing that. And that was part and parcel of what we were trying to achieve here, was we wanted something for all ages, right from the very, very young, tiny kids up to the very old, and those that can't even, the disabled even, that can go up in a gondola, have a cup of coffee at the top and the view, look around the visitor centre and come back down again. Those that want the adrenaline for world-class zip lines, those that, alpine coasters coming down the hillside.
It's the kind of thing that I watch on social media, and it scares me just watching it on social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clearly it really, they've become world-class attractions.
Absolutely.
So people want to bag these things.
Yeah. And Keith will mention about Andorra as a prime example, and the transformation in there with how what's happened with them and how they've monopolised mountain biking within a ski resort primarily. So skiing winter, but then mountain biking, and what we want to achieve here is a 12-month all year round resort, because it can cope with that. Mountain biking can cope with that. We don't obviously get the snow that lasts up there. It might get one or two days or something, but it's not we don't have the height that we're going to get snow for 2-3 months of a year and cause any concerns there.
I always think as well, this is an underused gateway to the national park that it's always been a bit of a head scratch to me of why more people aren't living in Dunoon or coming in the weekends, because it's an easy access. It's a lot less busy than going up Loch Lomond side.
Yeah.
It's, there's a fab place to live. There's lots of independent shops.
Yeah.
You've got into that Loch Eck and all of that that's wonderful, and good transport links. It has so much, yet it's not really managed to sell itself to its full potential.
And I think it's interesting, because I'll touch on it now in the slides, but I've been having quite a few conversations with different parties about what the project and about how they could support, and I'll show you how we're thinking now, because it's broader than just the leisure bit. But almost to a man, everybody looks at where Dunoon is and where the forest is, and they say this is such a unique proposition. Mm. There's a gateway, there's a town, there's a hill, there's a forest. And if you bring that all together, almost nowhere else has got that going for it. It's ripe for just actually totally transforming, not just the Noon, but Argyle and Bute, and sort of being a major destination for Scotland and nationally and even internationally. So that's the sort of feedback I'm getting when I talk to people. And I've got conversations going on sort of in London, here, all over the place. And people get really, really excited about the potential which this could have.
And even, dare to mention it, the ferries, which is such a controversial word in Dunoon. But you know, for something like this, the ferries would be sorted because if you've got that demand of people wanting to come over, of course the ferries are going to get resolved. You know, Western offer a fantastic service anyway, but if you've got thousands of people wanting to come over, of course there's going to be...
You've got the green credentials there because you've got the rail link, you've got the bike carriages now, and they don't need to bring the car. They can either bring the bikes or there'll be a bike hire shop down here, they can just come via that way, via the ferry. So the potentials, and they can walk from the ferry, to the base station. It's that kind of the geography. Just green credentials are massive as well.
If we go on to the, because it'd be great for us to
I'm hoping to get up the hill. That'll be lovely.
You can see it, especially in the daylight. But of course, it's always like this here.
And just before we start, so my background and involvement in the project, Digby and Brendan approached, obviously the one big thing you need to be able to acquire the forest is the funding to do that, I think the value of trees is going up and up, so you need a big backer for that. And through Digby's work in forestry, he was familiar with a fund in London called sort of Overall Gresham House. Within that, they've got several funds. One is called the British Strategic Infrastructure Fund, which is the one that they talk to. But they also got large forestry under management up here as well. And so when they approached them to talk about the project, they sort of said they're interested in supporting it and approached me to then get involved in doing the initial feasibility study for the leisure aspects, the mountain bike park, the gondola, and all of those aspects. So that's how I first got involved, sort of back end of 2018. And it sort of evolved since then. I now have a cottage up here.
Been suckered in.
But ever since I've been in the UK over 20 years ago, I've worked often up in Scotland. I do support Scotland rugby over England rugby, and I can see from my place in London. But I've always sort of loved Scotland and worked up here, but over lockdown I've sort of been here pretty much permanently.
So we get you in the end, even if it takes a pandemic.
But this is, I think that sort of phrase at the top, bringing us hope, owning our destiny. When I first, Brendan mentioned the community presentation we did at Queen's Hall, and I talked about the project there. And at that stage, it was early on in my engagement here, and it was very much a consultancy engagement then. And at the end of it, there was a young girl who stood up, I think must have been, 17, 18, and this was during question time, and she said, this project's important to me because at the moment, I've grown up here, I love the area, but there's no career prospects for me here. I'm forced to leave and I don't want to. So this gives me hope, and it gives us an opportunity to own our destiny. And that's sort of when it's for myself, it started to change to, this is more than just a project. This is actually a much bigger thing, and it means a whole lot to a lot of people here, and it can have a huge impact. And I think it's a good banner to sort of hold on to actually say that's what this is about. And the alliteration there, the town, tourism and trees. I think that is what it's about, and the trees are important. And I've been brought Joe O'Hara, the ex-chief exec of Scottish Forestry, and she's been hugely helpful in helping me to shape this coming out of COVID and how we actually navigate this through the cats and everything else. But for somebody like her coming from forestry, who've got a vested interest in not giving up the land and the trees, going from a point where she was initially a little bit skeptical to now completely bought in to this is important. The community need to own this forest. That can't just be, we'll lease some land and go and do some stuff on it. They need to own it because it's important for their morale, it's important as an asset. It actually then opens up a whole lot of other things. So she's, and so for her to do that switch coming from the forestry side is quite important, and quite, I think that's quite significant in shaping this. And so that's, so the with the purpose being then for the community of the Dunoon and the surrounding areas to use the resources of the forest to regenerate the town. And then we talk about the focus being the job opportunities and the economic upliftment and all of those things. But having said that, I think when you talk to people, when you look at the stakeholders, then it's potentially far bigger than just the Noon. There's Cowell, there's Argyll and Bute, there's Scotland. And so when I think about this, I think the big vision has to be, how do we make this a destination that's not just nationally known that people want to come to, but that's even internationally known?
Mm-hmm.
And take it from there. I think the scope that everybody talks about is this, that's the forest. But some key things there, everybody talks about the mountain biking and the zip wire and everything else. But there's a much bigger picture around the nature trails, so there's a health and well-being aspect. And the gondola is really the transport mechanism which opens it up, not just to the mountain bikers, but to both young people and old people and disabled people and everybody to be able to experience. And when you're at the top there, the views from the top are incredible, just looking out across the Clyde and beyond and to the other side.
There's a real attraction in that of being sort of attractive to multi-generational groups, isn't there? 'Cause I'll admit to being a total wuss and a zipline would scare me. but actually, you're getting up and, you know, walking and things like that. Mm. I mean, that's... Yeah. And, yeah, if it can have disabled access and things, that's a big plus.
And that's hugely important. And when we talk about mountain biking, it's not just the downhill racing, it's the gravel riding, making sure there's trails for people to go on of all abilities and all sorts. For the e-bikes, which are becoming more and more a bigger and bigger thing, and all sorts of things like that. And the education centre, and we talked about the school's involvement, and they've already said this touches on almost every subject, and they're looking to integrate this into the curriculum across everything. So even to the extent of getting the social media kids to get involved in the promotional aspects and everything else. And the other thing which is important with this is if you look at the map of the forest, I've had a conversation I'll show you the structure in a moment, but there's a lot of funding and growing support for ESG, environment, sustainability and everything else. So if you say, well, how are we going to fund this project and you're only looking at the leisure, there's a certain number of investors you could approach. But on that environmental side, that is growing huge. And there's a lot of people very interested in it. And if you look at that area, then it touches on the coast in multiple points as well. So one of the conversations said, well, actually, this could be an ideal sort of location for ecotourism.
Mm-hmm.
And you start thinking about Eden without a roof.
Mm-hmm.
So, and why not also consider what are you doing about drawing people into the ocean, the sea around it, as part of that natural environment extension sort of thing. And one of the conversations, which it's early days, is to get into conversations with some of the big tech companies to say, because there's a move to put more and more sensors into natural environments and conservation areas to be able to track and monitor what's actually going on in terms of the wildlife and the trees and the all of those sorts of things. And that could be quite exciting as well, because then that opens up even more educational possibilities. What's the BBC program, the Spring Watch, when you've got these cameras all over the country and people watching birds and all that sort of thing, you could actually draw on. There is so much up there if you think about the red squirrels and the deer as the bigger things, but then there's much smaller things there as well. So the moment you actually expand beyond the mountain biking, there's a huge opportunity to draw tourists in that are not just interested in getting on their bike, that are interested in actually exploring the forest and so on.
And there's a big, I mean, it's a big area. I don't know what it is, but I mean, in terms of one of the attractions, I always think in our area is the fact you can go and there's not, you're not going to, you can have a lot of people, but you're not going to see a lot of people, because you go down to the south of England and I'm always struck, you know, you say, you go to the beach and there'll be, you know, tens of thousands of other people that are there on the beach, but you know, you could accommodate a lot of people and not have them tripping over and still have that quality of experience with this as well.
And like you were saying earlier, with Dunoon at the top there, it is a gateway, and you're so close. You can get on, get off the ferry and cycle, or if you came on the path, the sort of the smaller ferry to the pier, you can walk along the front there. And that I always find that was, I think, the very first time I came, I did that walk, and I thought, wow, this is like if you could turn this pier and that frontage into like the classic walk for people coming and using it on day, whether it's day trips or weekends or so on. So to me, that picture is quite important to keep in one's mind, to say actually there's potential here for so much to actually grow and build it. So that becomes a much bigger vision then.
Presumably management of the forestry and potentially things like carbon sequestration are also part of it as
Absolutely. Well. So this is exactly the conversation I'm having with these sort of the environmental groups, as well as how do we bring all of that in. Because again, if you limit it just to the forestry bit of the trees and you say, well, how is the community going to get an income off of this? Well, there might be some from the forestry and there might be some from the leisure activities. But actually, if you bring in the carbon sequestration and all sorts of things like that and carbon credits and even... I'll show you in a moment, but we talk about the natural capital side. So you almost got the leisure side, the natural capital side, and there's the old reservoir up there, which could lend itself to a hydro scheme. And then there's things like that which you could bring in. But I think all of those aspects are important. In terms of some of the highlights of the things we've done so far, we've talked about the feasibility study. We've done a number of things to engage with the community. School engagement has been very encouraging and massive support from them. The advisory board, one of the things there which I'll touch on, we've got the Dunoon Project Limited as a charity at the top, and then Kilbride Hill Holdings is the development sort of company at the moment down below that to do all the trading sort of activity and the work with the consultancies and so on. Brendan mentioned the advisory board, so that's really been in place from the beginning of this year, and I think to have not just Nick Ferguson and Kathleen, but people like Bob McIntosh also with his background as a support. You've got him on. Joe sort of working alongside me, who used to report to him and then to succeeded him. So we've got actually got quite a strong forestry, and that's crucial for getting this over the line as well. We've done an economic impact study, and we've got the initial investor commitment, but it's not limited to them. So we actually, funding is a big thing we need to, so we focused on. And then obviously working towards the CAT submission, that's underway. This is the structure that I've just talked. So the bit on the right-hand side, that's pretty much in place with the Dunoon Project, the Advisory Board, and Leisure Co, which is the Kilbride Hill. And what's not in place yet, but where we're going. At the moment, we don't need it, but that natural assets sort of co would probably be a separate thing there, and that's important because, like I said, your funding that you get, it's likely to be different parties. May not at a Scottish Government level or at a political level, it might be the same resources that go both ways. But when you're getting into sort of partnering up with the private sector, to be able to access that, I think it's quite important to be able to show that quite clearly and distinctly. I mentioned the engagement with the school. They've been running a project, started off with the S1 to S3s, where they sort of divide them up into groups, and each group has to come up with branding ideas for the mountain, what they would like to see happen and so on. With 25 winners sponsored by some of the individuals in the community taken away to visit Zipworld. But that was so successful, they've now expanded that to the more senior group as well. So we've got the whole school participating in the project. And we're also looking to establish a junior advisory board that can actually feed into the main advisory board and the charity made up of students from both Dunoon Grammar, potentially some of the others as well, but that's the focus point. And I think that's important. And one of the big messages is actually this is really their future that we're talking about. By the time sort of it's done and built, you know, we might enjoy it, but actually we've had our careers and everything else. This is what's giving them, it's allowing them to take sort of the ownership of the destinies of their future. So that's been quite exciting, and seeing them respond, trying to get them engaged, whether it's geography or biology or science or what have you, or their social media or whatever, I think is quite exciting.
It's quite nice to imagine, isn't it, that they might be doing that in school and then ultimately take up a career working on the site, doing what could be a really wide range of careers.
Absolutely, yeah. That was one of the things we were talking to them about at the school, to say, well, pick a subject, pick a career, because it can be used in this.
Yeah.
You know, if it's accountancy, law, engineering, building, you know, agriculture, everything, you know, every single career that they're doing has got a place in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is quite interesting, because a lot of people off the cuff are just selling tickets and working in a cafe.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, there's a whole vast array of professional careers.
Working in a cafe.
And whole vast list of careers that can be can be utilised for this, because they'll need IT, they'll need everything. So you know, it really does open it up to the schools, and I think the engagement with them has been so positive.
And everything's got, every career is more involved than people imagine.
Yes.
At the sort of just at the headline level, because you know, you need business skills and as well as. You know, as well as hospitality skills, or you know, it's much more involved than I think people give some of the tourism careers credit for.
Mm.
You know, let alone all the other careers that are attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Keith, we're up the hill. So that's the gondola spot we're looking at now, isn't it?
Yeah, so the gondola would be coming up here, and if you imagine people getting in the gondola at the base of the hill, around about where sort of the West Bay car park is, and then coming up, then that would be the main means of transport, but also a bit like I always see it a bit like the London Eye, so it's providing people with stunning views of the Clyde and over into Gourock and the whole area, which is beautiful. If you go up onto the top there, it's absolutely stunning.
I mean, it's stunning. We've got a nice day, and we can see, we've been looking at back down at Dunoon and across the Clyde and across the Inverclyde, and then we've just seen Arran across the other side of the hill. And that's about what we've done, about half an hour. We've cheated. We've come up in four-wheel drive on the hill. We haven't got our bikes out or anything. So, you know, there's a good bit of walking or riding that you could do up and down, depending how energetic you're feeling once you've come up in the gondola.
Yeah, and there's some fantastic rides around here. And the guys who do the mountain biking in the area just absolutely love coming up here. But you always find a lot of walkers, especially people coming up with their dogs and everything else. So everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, well, that's next on my list. Bring my two bonkers labradoodles and wear them out coming up here. And we've already seen a few walkers as we've come up who are out. I mean, it was a stunning day to be up and seeing that, and we've just come up one little part of it, but you get a sense of just how big the area is that we're talking about from here, because we've come up from West Bay Dunoon, and I think you were saying it goes, the land would go right down to almost to Toward, down the peninsula, so a massive scope for all sorts of uses to be on the site of. So the leisure, the camping, you know, ecology, all of those kinds of things.
The education, the walks, and I always think of having a few bothies around the place so people can walk from one to the other and just book in and stay overnight.
But as we were coming up, it made me think a little bit of you have been in America, say, to the national parks and those kind of little almost encampments that they place amongst the national park. It's got that sort of scope of either little encampments or little secluded bothies, or the possibilities are endless, really, aren't they?
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of things. I think once you start, and talking about something like the mountain bike park is only the start of it. I think there's so much potential and so much one can do, and it's almost just, it can be up to people's imagination to think of what the next thing is that could, that would bring enjoyment and value to the area and to people.
Yeah, I think we're looking down right over Dunoon and watching the ferry come in and things. I mean, that view's going to sell it to a lot of people, just to come across and see that, which is incredible. For all the years I've been coming to Dunoon, I never really quite thought about how stunning the views were from up here.
Yeah, I mean, I often like to stop here just because of that incredible view, and you look down on the bay and see the ferries, and there's the little passenger, the foot ferry, coming across and looking at the church steeple and down to the Queen's Hall and right across the town.
Yeah.
And I think that certainly when I first went up, that completely sold it to me. I thought, I think this is something worth doing.
Yeah, stunning. Can't wait to do it in the gondola.
Yeah.
Not sure I'm brave enough for the zip line, but I'll definitely come up the gondola. So we've got Paul and David at Dunoon Grammar. So we were up this morning at talking to the guys who are doing the Dunoon project, and they took me up the hill. So I saw the amazing view and the potential.
Yeah, an amazing view.
It's stunning and such a great day to see it. But they were talking about the work they're doing with the grammar school and things. And I think they've been in and talked to the pupils, and now they're working with you, or you're working with them. I'm not sure which way around. So tell us a bit more, because Paul, you said you're doing a course especially to link in with it.
Yeah, so they've been fantastic with us, a great support to the school and our young people. And they've really opened up a range of really creative opportunities for our young people within real and relevant contexts. And it fits with how some of our approaches to learning and teaching within the school. So it's been really exciting, and the fact that it is on our doorstep. So already they have been in, they've delivered sessions, they've explained the project, the vision, and what they're looking to achieve. And our young people have already contributed through some marketing type activities. So branding, identifying target markets, how they would promote the event, organising the launch event, etc. And just coming up with some amazing ideas that they've put forward.
Would win them a trip to Zip World, is it?
It is indeed,
Which sounds scary to me,
but I'm holding the jackets. I won't be going up.
They've offered the top 25... winners will win a prize to go to Wales.
Well,
so a great opportunity.
How fab if you're 15 or 16 and you like to be scared?
So that's got the ball rolling. We're also setting up a group, and it shows you the courage and the trust that the Dunoon Project have in our young people, and that they're going to. I'm setting up a media team, and we're going to run their social media for them.
Oh, brilliant.
Which again, for young people looking to build a portfolio. For marketing, for event administration, for event management, for social media, for journalism, allows them to create an actual meaningful portfolio rather than us just almost pretending and kidding on, we're doing something real for them. So
that's
it shows
brilliant.
You the trust.
That is trusting.
And the final thing that we're doing just now is we're putting together a new S1 course for our new S1 pupils called Game Changers.
Yeah.
We want our young people to be almost like the green shoots of renewal within our community post-pandemic. Because they are the here and now, they're not just the future, they're the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And we firmly believe that they can lead the line in terms of the bringing back, people use the phrase building back better, and I think we've got great young people to allow that to be the case. So as part of that, we've got a few things. We're hoping our kids will get out in the community with some really proactive projects. We're working with our great friends Apps Are Good to develop apps that's going to be good for the environment, and that's going to align with the COP26, which is going to be in Glasgow. And then the final part of the course is working with the Dunoon Project and a whole host of different areas to do with environment, to do with community renewal, to do with wealth creation and economy. And it's going to allow our young people to have a real hands-on contribution to the project, and at the same time learning skills for learning life and work, which so is going to help them in the school and beyond.
So that sounds like almost like how to be a change agent and all the different skills that go with it. Oh, how amazing!
One of the other things that we've also looked at is obviously the S1 course that we're going to introduce, but we've also looked at the whole school and curricular aspects within the whole school. So we've looked at, the idea would be look at geography, look at history, look at English, and try and incorporate the Dunoon Project into the curriculum, so that we are, as Paul says, making it real, a real life context for them to be learning. So we hope over the next year that this partnership with the Dunoon Project is going to kind of drive real change in our school. So it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, how fantastic if we actually get it delivered and the kids can see that they've been part of that and actually shaping it and delivering it. But it just shows how long I've been out of school, because they'd never had courses that sounded that exciting when I was at school.
I just remember Paul likens it to Back to the Future. Having grown up in Dunoon and seen the Americans here and seen how busy it was, if this opportunity of the Dunoon Project, and it is going to happen, is going to try and reinvigorate our town. It's amazing. So it is like Back to the Future, bringing people back to the town and really making Dunoon a place for people who want to come.
Yeah. And I mean, they were talking about that sense that, you know, young people saying to them when they've met them, they weren't the careers, they didn't feel that there were the careers for them to stay as it is now. And you know, how fantastic as well to be able to influence that. Because, you know, what I was struck with was their vision for, it's not tourism jobs, it's also potentially in conservation and forestry, it's in engineering, it's, you know, all the support services that go to make these things happen. It's, the possibilities are endless in terms of the variety of careers, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also great for us for work placements, you know, and giving young people that opportunity to go and see these types of careers in operation. So it really is exciting, really exciting.
And it gives our young people the choice. Maybe for some of these careers, they've not got the choice to stay local. They do need to travel and go beyond. And I think it gives them the choice to stay and have their futures here and contribute to the local community and the economy. But at the same time, fulfilling their own personal career aspirations. So it is a fantastic project. We're excited and delighted to be involved at this early stage. It's a greenfield site for us, really. And as I say, they've been very courageous to the extent that they're going to allow our young people to contribute. And I think our young people will rise to that challenge, and I've no doubts that they'll deliver for them.
Well, we've met some of you, maybe your up and coming game changers, at St Munn's on our last visit. So I think you'll have some people some young people that are up for the challenge. So that'll
good,
be fab.
Good, that's great news.
Thanks. So I hope these conversations have given you just a sense of what a world class visitor attraction the project in Dunoon could be. And how great is it to see young people involved at such an early stage? If you're interested in finding out more, please check out the dunoonproject.org.uk on the website for more details. Bye for now.
Pippa's Podcast.